Hey, how would you rate yourself in your marriage as far as being a communicator? I mean, your side of the equation. How good are you at communicating with your spouse? And how good are they at communicating your spouse? Take the average, and that's probably the number you'd give to your marriage, I guess, wouldn't it? We want to help you today. Continue part two from yesterday on this thing of how can we get a breakthrough in our marriage when it comes to talking to each other and getting to the things that matter when it's difficult, when it's tough, when sometimes we don't even know how to bring up a topic. We bring the patterns from our childhood and from our home and maybe from a previous marriage or whatever into our relationship that you have today in your marriage. And we can do better. I think all of us, I know I can. In a moment, I'm going to share with you the four types of communicators in marriage. I did this yesterday. I know many of you are new tuning in today, so I'll go through those again. Type 1, 2, 3, and 4, four types. Which one you are makes a difference. But first, let me get to a call. If you want to join us on our storyline, tell us what you do to communicate in marriage that works at 888-888-1717. All right, Susan, you're up first. Welcome to the show. How long have you been married?
40 years to the same man.
Wow, 40 years in a row. And
praise the Lord and to his people at church who have supported us in this. And I just wanted to share one little tidbit that worked for us years ago, more so than currently. Money was a very sensitive subject, especially with my husband. And so what I learned to do to avoid an argument would be to tell him in the morning as I was kissing him goodbye that I wanted to talk about money in the evening and that I'm not spending anything. I assured him that there was nothing serious that was going on. I just wanted to discuss some things. And it worked out great because by the time he got home, he was able to be ready for that conversation without getting angry or defensive or, you know, combative or whatever. So it worked out really well for us.
You were just happy he came home. No, but that's good. You know, that principle works sometimes, saying, hey, we do have something with the kids or in Susan, in your case, money, and to say, you know, we need to talk about it, but it's a little heavier, a little more serious. And as you're running out the door, timing is everything. Timing in life is everything. The right words at the right time to the right person can change a life, while the right words at the wrong time can also change a life or change a marriage. So you're a smart lady there, Susan. Hey, when you get home tonight, honey, can we spend a little bit of time talking about fill in the blank? And then there's a little thought that it's coming. It's nobody getting surprised, that's for sure. All right. Very good. Thank you. Let me go to Nancy next. Let me see. Nancy's in Arizona. What one thing have you been doing, Nancy, that's made a difference?
I pray for guidance before I open my mouth, and I always just...
I'm with you.
I'm very careful and just try to listen well.
It was that difficult in the past?
Well, I've worked with schools and students and family members, you know, for an awful long time. And you don't always hear what they're saying by their behavior and their attitude and how they're speaking. So it's just praying for guidance and trying to say what you think the Lord would want me to say.
Yeah.
What can I do to listen better? What can I do to understand better? What can I, you know, what can I do to help with instead of saying, well, but what about this and what about that?
Exactly.
I'm just very cautious about voicing myself when I should be listening and just praying for them.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Hi, Dr. Dr. Carlson, I just wanted to say thank you. I did go through a rough period about a year and a half ago. My marriage was falling apart, and I had called and I had actually talked to you and said to set goals for one day at a time because it was so hard when my husband left to set any long-term goals. So I set the goal for short terms, and I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you for those people who were praying for us. My husband and I are together still. He came back home, and we are both living intentionally, and I have a better marriage than I did before, with both of us loving each other and doing the right things and walking intentionally with Christ. So thank you so much.
All right. You're welcome. That's fantastic. You know, the scripture teaches that we shouldn't worry about tomorrow. The Bible even says there'll be plenty of worries for you tomorrow when you get there. I can almost guarantee you we're going to wake up tomorrow and have its own set of worries, right? We don't even know what they are yet. They might show up overnight. That's encouraging, but that's a reality. Learning to live today, this moment, this is all we have for sure. I mean, we know we have eternity with Jesus, but we don't know if that's going to start tonight or tomorrow. We want to live someone used to say, I want to live every day as though this were my last day on the planet before I go to heaven, before I'm with Jesus. And I think that's a pretty smart way of living. Now, we always want to plan and live today that'll move us forward. As the Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward that goal. And that's really what we're talking about. And I think a great thing is, here's a great thought for you. Think about your marriage right now today and your communication. Now, this is a hard question. But if something were to happen and tomorrow you were no longer, your spouse was gone, how would you feel? Wow, that's a powerful question. Because let's be honest, some of you might say, I'm not sure how I'd feel. That's sad, isn't it? I know for me, I'd be broken. I mean, and I want to make sure that my communication with my spouse ends every day with that reality, both ways. And that question, the answer to that question should remind us or really wake us up to, hey, we got some stuff to work on in our marriage or in my own life, or we got to close some loops that have been going around in circles, close some doors, resolve some issues for God's glory and for our benefit. That's for sure. You know, we're talking about the power of living intentionally in Christ. And when I hear a story like that, I'm reminded that's why we're here. That's what this mission's all about. And I can't go without saying thank you to those of you who are faithfully supporting. Some of you have been with me here for 10, 15 years or more supporting the ministry. Some of you started 10 days ago. But your faithfulness and ongoing support every month, supporting the ministry, it puts fuel back in the engine, as it were, to keep us going with our radio and podcasts and things we do. Thank you. Could you join us? $1 a day. Can I just challenge you to pray about that? If we had a lot of people today join us at $1 a day, that'll add up pretty quickly to make a difference in our ministry. And we need it. You can call 888-888-1717 or go to theintentionallife.com.
This is Shirley, and I was wanting to tell you that years ago when my husband and I first got married, we had a disagreement, and we agreed to disagree. So what was so funny about that, we were married for 34 years, and I can't tell you now what that was ever about, and we totally forgot it. And he helped lead me to the Lord when we first got married, and I wanted to say he did pass away 5 years ago from Agent Orange. But he was such an influence to me. He was a very good Christian man, and we had a very good Christian marriage. And I just wanted to say it's very important to talk to each other and have it settled before you go to bed every night.
It's also biblical and very smart. Thank you, Shirley, for that reminder. Hey, speaking of smart, here are four things, or really four types of communicators in marriage. And you kind of put yourself in one of these four types. Type one, unity. We agree. We talk. We resolve things. We're on the same page. Really nothing that's a problem in the marriage. I mean, communication-wise, we have some things now and then. But, you know, I'd give myself a, an A or at least a B plus. Okay. Maybe you're a type two in communication. You agree. You even have unity. I mean, you are on the same page generally about things, but you just don't communicate anymore. You just kind of live and you don't talk. And as such, you miss out on the opportunity to maybe do even better and develop more intimacy and closeness and understanding. You're missing out. Maybe this is where walls can develop and staleness can develop in a marriage when we just don't talk about the things that unify us and draw us together. The type one and type two, really, I think about that verse that says how pleasant it is when brethren, or in this case, couples, really dwell in unity, Psalm 131. The more unity, the better. Type three, not so much fun here. You communicate, but at the end of the day, you just don't agree. You don't agree about money, kids, sex, in-laws, or any one of a number of those things, or all of them. You just don't agree. There's a few things you do agree on, a lot of things you don't. I think of Amos 3:3. Amos, by the way, is an Old Testament book in the Bible. Amos 3 says, how can two walk together unless they be in agreement? You're not in agreement, it's painful. I would say to type three communicators in marriage, we need to grow up and sit down and just say, hey, let's focus on the things that we agree on and really build those things. And the things we don't agree on, decide which of these are life-altering and which of them are just preferences, and come to agree to disagree, or come to some agreement together that's a compromise, if you please, for the benefit of the kids and the family and for your marriage. Type four, painful. This is a really hard one to address. No communication, no agreement. And there's maybe a number of things that have happened as a result of that or caused that. I think of that Proverb 12 that says, a stubborn fool considers his own way the right one, but a person who listens to advice is smart. Actually, wise is what the Bible says, which is different than smart. I know people who are smart, not very wise. But to be wise in a marriage, powerful thing. So what do you do with that? I mean, if you're in that fourth category, man, you need to really seek God and take care of yourself and get people around you to support you. And as a Christian, maybe you're the only believer in that relationship to really understand your role in communication. All right, let's get back to calls here. Alexis is in Michigan. And Alexis, what communication habit has been helpful for you?
I greet my husband first. So when I come in the door, the first thing I do is greet my husband. And even if we do nothing else but greet each other, we make the connection with each other first before we go about doing anything else in our day. And so we know that each other is there, and we know that communication is open between each other, you know? So, and that has amazingly opened up our marriage to, you know, like the other day I came in and I was in such a foul mood, and I started cooking and everything, and I hear him go, hello, you know, and that tender, soft greeting where he knew something was wrong because I hadn't greeted him first. And so that communication was open even though I hadn't greeted him first, just because I hadn't. And our habit was so solidified that when it was broken, he knew something was wrong.
Yeah. I like that a lot, because you're reminding us that it's easy to come home and the first words out of your mouth is a criticism or something needs to be done or wasn't done or being ignored.
Right.
And what you're basically, what businesses, have you ever noticed that certain businesses, they train their employees, when you walk in the front door, you're greeted immediately?
Yes.
I've noticed that, like when we go to the Walgreens, I don't know if that's a pattern at Walgreens, but whenever I walk into a Walgreens, even if they're busy, they'll say, hello, welcome, or something. They're trained. It's kind of like, hey, open for business. We're here, willing to talk to you. If we can help you, let us know. And other businesses, you walk in and they just kind of ignore you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
And it makes all the difference, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. That's why I go to Chick-fil-A. They're always friendly. My chicken sandwich? Come on. Actually, I've been eating more salads. They're not bad either, there. Okay, we're talking about communication, Mary. Sorry about that. Terry, looks like something's going on. You got a question for me. What's happening?
Well, I was explaining to Stephen, the challenge I'm having with my husband and our communication is he picks and chooses what he feels is important to communicate with me. And if it's not important to him, it's just no big deal. And then I might bring something up to him, like, well, she would have communicated that with me. And then he goes on and invalidates the reason for not communicating.
Yeah. Can you give me an example of a topic?
Yes. It goes back to a lot within our marriage. I've been helping raise my stepson since he was 4, and he's almost 18. My husband had full custody of him when I married him. Throughout the marriage, it was just a lot of miscommunication with maybe what would be going on with my stepson and his mom, because he went to see his mom but every other weekend. And this past Christmas, he went to his mom's house for a few days after Christmas. He's 18, so he doesn't go that often anymore. And he told me he was coming home one day, and then he didn't bother to tell me that he was coming home early, and he just showed up. And I was really surprised, and it just kind of caught me off guard. Like, why didn't he tell me that he was coming home early?
Now, are you talking about your stepson? How does that relate to your husband?
Well, I asked my husband, why didn't you tell me he was going to go ahead and come home a little earlier? And, you know, maybe I could have just kind of prepared myself a little bit, because it's the challenges of being a step-parent anyways at times. And it was just nice for me to have that little break. You know, he went to his mom's house for a couple of days. And so I just asked my husband, and I wish he would have just told me. And he didn't feel like there was any need to tell me.
Okay. Is it a lot of the communication issues revolved around this blended family?
Yes.
Okay.
At times, yes.
What I hear you saying, Terry, is, you know, it would have been helpful if you would have told me he was coming home early, would help me plan and know the schedule and so on and so on. But, you know, to be very honest with you, Terry, what I'm hearing is that's not the issue. What I'm hearing is you feel disrespected.
Yes, very much so.
It seems to me that's ultimately what you need to communicate to your husband, because if he honestly believes the issue is that his son is coming home a little bit early, he's probably thinking, what's the big deal if he comes home a little early?
Right.
I mean, what is that?
Right.
That does not make the world collapse. I mean, what's the big deal? I didn't even think of telling you. But if
but if
you're saying to me that the fact that he's not communicating with you and you feel disrespected because of these relationships that you don't have maybe as much involvement with, that's another issue. That's a real issue of not feeling respected, not feeling like you're on the same page, and not communicating about the things that are important to you. Which seems to me to be a much bigger deal than did he come home early or not.
Exactly. And that was me just trying to communicate that, exactly what you said to him. And he takes it as what you just said. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
You know, I shouldn't have to tell you he's coming home.
Sure.
It's just his home. And, you know, so in some regard, I can see his
yeah, I would probably, you know what, candidly, I'd probably feel somewhat the same way. He might be saying, you make too big a deal out of, you know, my son. I mean, this stuff. He might be thinking you're making too big a deal. What the issue for you is feeling disrespected.
Disrespected, yes, yeah. Exactly.
Now, here's what I would encourage you to do, Terry, is to sit down with your husband, because blending families is tough, is sit down with your husband and say, honey, let me give you an example. When this happened, here's how I felt. I felt left out, or I felt disrespected. Maybe it's my problem. Maybe it's not a big deal for other people. Maybe it wouldn't be a big deal for somebody else. Or maybe it wouldn't be something that would be upsetting to you, but it is to me. And I just want you to know that when you show me that kind of respect by keeping me over-informed, over-communicating, bringing me into these kinds of things, I feel closer to you. I feel more in love with you, or whatever it is, you know, you're really feeling. But really going to the heart of the issue, which is an issue of respect.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that so much, and I will take that to heart. And I've been trying to do my part in just praying through the situation and praying for him. And, you know, I know I'm not a perfect person through all this as well, but I do try to strive for better communication and healthier relationships.
Deciding on what route to take between your home and your work
is one level of habit. Deciding how you're going to respond to your spouse whenever he or she says something to you has quite another consequence. Deciding how you're going to respond when you're bored, when you're tired. Deciding how you're going to respond when you turn on the computer and you have opportunity to go to pornography. Deciding how you're going to respond when you have a moment to make a decision about your integrity makes a difference. Excerpt from the lesson we've been featuring, by the way, this month. On this time, by the way, we're right here at the end of the month, right? Very close. This is featured on the topic of habits, and they're important habits. As I said in the program we did just several days ago, it was on this topic of habits, that habits don't care about you unless they just want to feed themselves in terms of whatever their desire is. And that's why building positive habits takes more work than negative habits, right? Because we just tend to gravitate, sinful, fallen world, to the stuff that ain't good for us. And so this lesson is in how do you develop the kind of habits in your life that make a difference. And it's up on our website. It's in our member exclusive area where those who are members of the ministry in terms of support, you know, your ongoing support for the ministry, our lessons are there for you. And by the way, you say, well, I couldn't get in because there's a little code. Well, if you're a member, we have it for you. If you didn't get it or lost it or whatever, I would misplace that myself probably. But we're happy to give it to you. Get a call or, you know, text us or something. Leave a message and we'll try to get in touch with you and get that to you. And those of you joining us today, we'll make sure you get that as well. All you need to do is call 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717, press number 2, or go to theintentionallife.com. And a big high five. Thank you for standing with us and being a part of Intentional Living.
If I could do one thing to improve my marriage, it would be to take the time to listen to the Holy Spirit when my emotions start running high. And what that normally means is I'm not getting my way, or things aren't going as I expect them, or I'm a little tired. If I'd only take that time to listen, I know things would be better, not only in my marriage, my relationship with Christ, and with the other people around me.
My husband and I, one thing that we've been working on to help our marriage succeed is communication. With he as the head of the family, he really puts himself in a position to be the giver of his love, and then me as the recipient, and that has opened up our lines of communication. It's all about just being open to each other and being willing to give as well to receive.
These are great. Your comments are great, and Stephen just reminded me about our communication with the Lord. Maybe there's some parallel. You see how you communicate with God in terms of how you don't communicate with your spouse. I don't know. Think about it. Some of the same principles work, don't they? All right, Suzanne in California, what's your question for me?
I would like to know how I can approach my mother-in-law without offending her when I want to speak with her about something important and get her to understand without overreacting.
Is she a big overreactor?
She is 87 years old. Her husband just passed away, and she came to live with us.
Well,
and we have had a pretty good relationship, but since she has moved in with us, we've gotten to know each other a little better. And I'm actually in the nursing field and work with senior citizens all the time, so I think I have a pretty good approach. I thought I did.
Yeah, but they're not related to you.
No. So that definitely has changed a lot of things. But I still honor and respect and have tried to approach her in a loving, kind manner.
Yeah, but what I hear, Suzanne, is a very loving, caring nurse. You want the best with your mother-in-law. She's living with you now, but there's some things that are bugging you that you want to talk about.
Yeah.
Bottom line, is there some things that are bothering you that need to be addressed now that she's living in the house with you?
Right. One thing, very important, she's not a Christian. And that has been a very sore subject. Matter of fact, sometimes we'll be in my car, and she has claimed she doesn't hear very well. But as soon as I have my Christian radio on, she says, turn that down, that's too loud.
She had a healing on her hearing when she hears Christian radio.
Like collective healing.
Hey, now let me ask a question. Where's your husband in all this? Is he hiding out, or is he?
Yeah, that's a good word.
He's hiding out, yeah.
I heard on one of the commercials, is he her baby boy? Yes. He's actually, there's only two siblings, my husband and the sister. And we inherited her mostly because my husband, he's retired and he's with mom-in-law all day. And I work part-time. And when I get home, the magic begins.
Hey, listen, that's a great question. You know, I think being honest and getting your husband to stand up to be a part of this in terms of communicating with mom, that's good. All right. Thank you for that. Communication is difficult enough in a married relationship, but then when we add in-laws, by the way, that's a whole nother topic we have around here at Intentional Living on how to be intentional with our in-law relationships. All right, we're wrapping up the show today. And yesterday, if you missed yesterday, part one of a two-part on this topic of marriage and communication, really focusing on how do we talk when it's tough to do so. Sometimes there's a topic that needs to be discussed that's tough to get to. And we've learned some good things. It's been helpful. If you missed it, you can listen to it. It's available on our podcast and also from our archives. If you want to know more about what this powerful message is of living intentionally in Christ, come to our website, which is theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. And all the information is there. You can find out about the ministry, a lot of helpful articles and what have you. If you want to talk to one of our staff, give us a call at 888-888-1717 and press number 2 during West Coast business hours. And we'd love to talk to you a little bit more and tell you about the ministry and invite you to come and be a part of it. Got to run. Thank you, Jennifer and Stephen, for being a part of the ministry today and every day. I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living. We're glad to be on the air right here in this area and on our podcast as well. We're part of Family Life and a ministry of Intentional Life Media.